My name is Suze Appel, and I'm one of the local Dharma leaders, and I'm going to be guiding our kind of group reflections on this first Sunday of May on the fourth ox herding picture called Catching the Ox. So this one, this Sunday, we're going to be giving everybody an opportunity to really look at and relate to the picture. And then the second and third and fourth, you know, with the middle Sundays, what we do is we give different local Dharma leaders a chance to share their reflections. And then on the last Sunday of the month, we invite everybody to bring whatever creative expressions they might want to bring. People have brought poems and songs and local collages they've made. So just, you know, think about that. And it's also totally okay to just come to the last Sunday and just bring yourself. So I'm going to start by sharing the picture this morning called Catching the Ox. Oops, I have to go here, screen share. Okay, can you see it now? Great. Thank you, Judith, for the head shaking. It's just what I needed. So, this is the first time that the ox herder and the ox are seen together. In the first picture, if you remember, it was just the ox herder, and he or she was looking one way with the body and looking the other way with their head, and was pretty confused and struggling. In the second picture, there was the ox herder and footprints kind of catching a glimpse of what might be possible. The third picture, there was no ox herder. There was just that enormous rear end of the ox. And so this month in May, Catching the Ox is the first time that the ox herder and the ox are seen together. And for the first time, really, the ox herder is actually seeing the path. And, you know, our nature and the mind. And there's this starting to, this desire to want more of it. And so this is the first time that we really are seeing the enormity of what is ahead of us. But we remember, and actually we were reminded last Sunday by one of the Sangha members who reminded us about, in the third picture, the song of the nightingale that we heard, and the sun was warm and the wind was mild. And we felt that kind of first inspiration and the hope that we had found something truly important. So even though the ox is really big, we're bringing at least a beginning sense of confidence, a hope that we're in the right place, kind of a belief in the possibility of transformation from that confusion and pain and struggle of the first picture through the glimpses of the second and the third. And now we are face to face with, some people call it the Dharma, some people call it the path, the future, the mind, our true nature, where the mind and the path intersect, Buddha nature. Our guiding teacher, Tim, says the whole series, this whole year, is the path, and the ox is our true nature. It mostly seems that this fourth month, this fourth picture, that the ox is really the mind, kind of wild and uncontrollable. So we're going to spend some time early on here where I'm just going to be asking you all to settle back into kind of a meditative posture, maybe even close your eyes for a couple minutes, really relax. And then when I ask you to open up your eyes again, I'll read the commentary a couple times and ask you to really connect with your own responses to this picture. Your responses can be spontaneous and short, just one thing, or your responses might be complex, a lot of words and phrases, maybe other images come up for you. No need to really analyze it or censor or elaborate. For sure, no need to judge. Whatever your response is just fine. These reflections help stimulate our mindfulness and the kind of thinking that can really lead to some insights. So if your eyes are closed, open your eyes and just spend these moments looking at this picture as I will read the commentary a couple times. Catching the ox. I seize it with a terrific struggle. Its great will and power are inexhaustible. It charges to the high plateau far above the cloud mists, or in an impenetrable ravine it stands. And a second time, catching the ox. I seize it with a terrific struggle. Its great will and power are inexhaustible. It charges to the high plateau far above the cloud mists, or in an impenetrable ravine it stands. I encourage you to complete this sentence in your mind. These pictures, these words, invite me to feel. It might be an emotion, it might be a sensation in the body. Or this picture, these words, invite me to think. What kinds of thoughts come up? Stories, memories, inclinations, whatever. This picture, these words invite me to feel an emotion or a physical sensation. This picture and these words invite me to think. Whatever thoughts might arise. So taking a little snapshot of this picture and the remembering the commentary, I'm going to stop the share, and you're going to have plenty of time to in your small groups to talk about this. But I'm going to have some comments that I'd like to make beforehand, and hopefully my talk is not up on the screen share. So, you know, I think I've shared before that a week or two before the beginning of the month, all the local Dharma leaders and one of our teachers get together and we talk about it. And, you know, what does this picture mean to us? And I really agreed with a couple of the LDLs who said that, you know, this picture really seems like the ox is representing the mind, the wild and seemingly uncontrollable mind that it is its nature. I think about my early years of practice. Jerry, thanks for bringing that up. And I, you know, I can really understand there's so many people who, when they learn that I'm a meditator, they say, oh, no, I can't meditate. My mind is way too busy. You know, and it's such a true statement. I bet we all can identify with that. You know, because here we are facing this uncontrollable nature of the mind. You know, it goes here and there, you know, up to the high plateau, down into an impenetrable ravine. And isn't it just what it feels like? You know, we start our practice, we find quiet. I don't know about you, but that first retreat for me, I don't know if I was ever quiet like that. I mean, they weren't hours of quiet, but there were moments of quiet. Really starting to learn what it means to relax and settle and truly arrive in a moment, that feeling of, oh my goodness, this moment of stillness and quiet, remember how good it felt? It feels so good to just quiet down. And then it's like all hell breaks loose. What in the world is the mind doing? So we have our first experience of the stillness and a little bit of a glimpse of the sufficiency of this moment. Just this, nothing more, that sweet, precious moment of quiet. And then the seductive pull of the mind, the entertainment, the old hurts that are rehashed, the planning for new moments, whatever the mind is throwing at us. And this picture, for me, starts describing the first moment of some choice that we have. What are we going to follow in the next moment, in this moment? We're invited into a dance between the quiet of simple awareness when we first sit down and all it offers, and then the noise and activity and the seductiveness of the mind. We're in a dance, and we have a choice of which partner we're going to choose to dance with. At this juncture, it's so hard to know that we even have a choice, because the power of the mind seems so big. Look at the size of the ox and the size of the ox herder and the rope. They're both pretty teeny. But then we remember too, not only the pain of the first picture when we were kind of pulled in two directions, but that pull in one of the directions was to just a little glimpse something inside of us that said, there's something more in life. And we were pulled there. We might not have known where we were going in our confusion, but we knew that there was, and we know that there is, a reason that we're stepping onto this path. There was some little sliver of wisdom. The wisdom might have just been discomfort with how our life was going. It might have been that we were just in the midst of a lot of challenges. But there was just that little glimmer of, we know that we're stepping onto this path. And as I said, we may not be able to articulate the reason, but we feel that draw. We feel that pull. And that first sense of aspiration, that wholesome desire within us, even though it wasn't fully understood, we're also bringing here. The ox herder, us, might be puny and small, with a big heart, with that aspiration that's still hanging out in there. And we know enough to know that the path is offering us a choice. This wonderful teacher, Martine Batchelor, describes what's happening in this fourth picture like this. The ox herder has finally caught the ox with a rope, but the ox does not want to be caught. The ox herder holds on as tightly as the ox jumps fiercely and drags him or her hither and thither. We feel very much like the ox herder when we start to meditate. We're given a set of instructions, just like Jerry did this morning, and think that following them shouldn't be too difficult. Catching the ox wasn't so hard, but holding on to it, oh my goodness, requires much strength and energy. In the same way, she goes on to say, sitting down with a method is the easy part. While applying that method, the instructions for a certain period of time, is what needs great determination and strength. She goes on to say that like the ox herder, we have to be firm and hold on tightly. There are many obstacles, restlessness, sleepiness, daydreaming. We have to realize, she says, that for the last 20 or 30 years or more or less, we have been cultivating many habits which promoted distractions. And when we meditate, we go all against those habits. It's going to take some time before we dissolve the power of those tendencies. So holding the rope tightly, we, the ox herder, we realize that we have some work to do. We have to look at our habits, watch as the hindrances arrive and they stick and then they go away, and we bring effort and discipline to our practice. The ox has been caught, but only barely. The mind wants to stray, wants to wander, wants what it wants. One commentator who is a little more firm than Martine Batchelor said, only through direct, strict force can the ox be taught to submit. The student must break the ox of its wild nature and keep it in line. And we start to see this is challenging, this whole process. So it takes great discipline. Boy, that word, great discipline, I don't know for you, but it's pretty daunting. I'm not the most disciplined person in my life. I know others really are. So how do we control the mind? What is our understanding of this discipline and effort that is being called for? So I want to just talk a little bit about wise effort and wise energy. At the same time that great strength, holding on to the rope, and discipline and effort are being called for, we also need to find some balance between that great effort to start taming the ox and the need to relax, to get centered, to bring clear attention to each moment, to remember that awe of the quiet, of the stillness, of bringing presence. The poet David Budbill has beautiful words to describe this balance. He says, "It takes the strictest discipline to truly take it easy, yet still retain the minimal quiver of ambition required for consciousness." I love how he describes that balance. The strictest discipline to take it easy, that finding that centered, quiet, relaxed state, and yet still retain the minimal quiver of ambition or discipline, whatever word you'd like to put in there, required for consciousness or presence. This takes us back to our intention of knowing why we even sit down and meditate. Why do we come on Sunday morning? You know, we remember that awe, and we also know that there's a fierce energy that is required. The balance seems to be a kind of acceptance of where we are at each moment. So we bring that attentiveness to that present state, and it requires some clarity of purpose and resolve, and have an overall environment of relaxation. And as many of us have talked about over and over again, and I think Susan talked about this last month, we find it first by being back in the body. If the body's all tense, if our shoulders are up by our ears, you know, there's no ease. So we use those tools to find a relaxed posture. We use the breath and feel it as it moves through the body. I recently listened to a fabulous talk on 10% Happier with Ajahn Suchito. And he talked about 75% being the new 100%. He said, instead of striving for 100% for that kind of get things right, be perfect, he encourages us to go for 75%. He says when we're so busy doing that 100%, gotta get it right, for whatever in our life, including our meditation, he says it's hard to stay open and receive what is available. In his words, receptivity is essential. Less doing and striving, and more listening. And what are we listening to? Our hearts, our bodies, the truth of the moment, and that little glimmer of aspiration. And of course, there's some aspect of patience required here. We don't yet know what's going to happen. Last week, one of our Sangha members in our end of the time discussion reminded us that things get revealed in time as you continue on the path. Joseph Goldstein reminds us that effort can become unskillful when it's forced and when we've got this big agenda, what he calls in order to mind. We hold on to the object too tightly. And again, we're looking for some balance. If we tend, and we each know kind of where we are, if we tend to kind of be a little bit lackadaisical, we need to bring more energy. But if we're one of those people who is always striving and I got to get this right and here's where I want to go, then bringing more relaxation is what's needed. And of course, where we are on that continuum of effort is going to change over time. It's finding that balance point that is what's really important. The mind too tight, relax. The mind too loose, adjust. I want to end with this beautiful poem by William Stafford called Sure You Do. Sure you do remember the person you thought you were, that summer sleepwalking into your teens and your body ambushing the self that skipped from school. And you wandered into this carnival where all the animals in the ark began to pace and howl. The swing that strapped you in, the descent through air that came alive till the pause at the top, the door on the way down that opened onto joy, and then it was a trap. You would get used to it. Like the others, you could shoulder your way through the years, take on what came and stare without flinching. But you knew at the time it was goodbye to everything else in your life. The great door that opened on terror swung open. Just a quick comment on that last line, because I'm not implying that the stepping onto the path is stepping into terror. I think that a less poetic changing in word might be to say the great door that opened on the unknown swung open. We don't know what's ahead of us on this path. Challenges? Yes. Insights? You bet. Joy? Absolutely. Difficulties? Also absolutely. But catching the ox herder, that's you and me. We're ready for the adventure. Thank you for your attention. And we'll keep this picture up, if you would, Jerry, for just another moment. I'm going to be sending you all into breakout rooms for you to all share what have been some of your reflections. And of course, if some of you need to leave, please feel free to. At the same time, I know that Jerry has said this, and I and a lot of those of you who come on Sunday have said how important these breakout groups are. So again, the questions of what did this picture and the commentary, what kind of feelings came up, both in your body and your emotions, what kind of thoughts came up? Enjoy your groups. So I think the easiest way to make sure that I can see a hand or an unmute happen is to go to reactions and raise your hand. We'd love to hear what happened in your group. Charlotte, are you willing to share that, what you shared a minute ago, just to get
sure.
It started? Thank you.
Well, thank you. I just noticed that the ox was looking me in the eye. It was an invitation to, do you see me? I see you, and welcome. Let's see what we can do together.
Boy, I like that, because the ox is so big, and I had forgotten, you know, I didn't even look at the eye. So that's one more reason why it's lovely to have us all have this experience and then share with each other. What else? What else do you think about catching the ox and this crazy mind? And Anyone have something that they'd like to share? Sean and Bruce, and then Susan, please.
Hi. I think that within our group, we came to a general consensus that there's absolutely no way to control the mind. And that the mind isn't us. It's just the mind. And that the more we try to, the more I try to control it, the more difficult life becomes, just like trying to control the way it is. And that the mind is not the enemy. It's just the mind.
Mm-hmm. And so, Bruce, how, when you are practicing with more concentration, what happens then with the mind?
I just noticed it, Pat. I just noticed it. It's like watching clouds go across the sky. Mm-hmm. Oh, there goes that thought. I mean, if I'm really concentrated, there goes that thought. I'm not good enough. Okay, there goes that thought. I just don't latch on to it. It just passes.
And thank you. I think that's such a good different word than control, but it's changing the relationship with the mind. Does that work?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's just, don't know what it is, but there it is.
Yeah.
Kamala used to say to us, it's just the mind.
Uh-huh.
It's not you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Sure. Can I add something before we go
Absolutely.
On?
Absolutely. Please, John.
At the point of this picture of really seeing the mind, it's like face to face with the mind. And I mean, the bull is just huge, you know, and I think that's just such an important part on the path of practice, that you actually see that there is this mind and how much power that it can have, where it can just throw you, toss you all around the universe. And, because there are many people that just don't even know that there's this mind. They're just melded with the mind. So it's wow. Very important to see that's part of it.
Wow. Thank you very much. It's such a good reminder. And you know what you said about just people being melded. I don't want to take up much time. So Susan and then Graham and Anna. Thanks, Sean and Bruce.
Yes, yeah, that was very rich. I just wanted to stay with the visual, and with it's holding those metaphors is so hard sometimes. So I know, you know, the bull, the ox, is that mind, the busy mind, egoic mind, is just so strong and stable and balanced. It is in charge, right? And then it's that's so crazy because it's wild and out of control. And you'd think that would mean it's showing something like this, running around. No, it's solid. So that's fascinating. The other piece that's fascinating is that, you know, that the heart emerging is so unstable, you know, and it's that struggle to release and free. It's off balance, and yet there's no, I don't perceive danger. Though if I was face to face with a real object like that close, that little guy, us, we on the journey, we're not afraid. I think that's beautiful too. We are holding to something that we've seen, and gives us faith and strength. And the other piece, so I'm in awe of that. I'm also seeing that, you know, the Dharma to penetrate is the most difficult. And yet, is it not the most natural also? Because the moment, it's right here. So thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you, Susan. Graham and Hannah, I love that people have all this to share. Please.
So in our group, myself and another member were talking about how when we looked at the ox, it just looked completely unmanageable. Like there's no way you could force the ox to do anything, being the human with the punny little tiny rope that it's probably going to break. And so it reminded us that maybe you need to lure the ox in the direction that you want it to go. And that reminded me of Analio talking about the unearthly pleasure of being in the moment and constantly drawing attention to that in the meditations that he does. And that's kind of positive reinforcement for continuing to do it. And the longer you do it, the stronger the positive reinforcement. And it just makes it easier to do rather than forcing yourself and trying to use forceful methods for it to happen.
Oh, beautiful. What a wonderful reminder. And I love how you mixed bringing back to the moment as a lure of the mind. So I talked about the seductive nature of the mind. Well, it's like you're seducing the mind back into the moment, the lure of that. Really a helpful sharing. Thank you both. Thank you so much. Anything else? This is like the best part. Anyone else want to share anything? Charlotte, please.
Yeah, when I was talking in our group, I said that I saw that he didn't have the whip anymore. And the person said, oh, I thought it was a rope. And now I realize my mistake. I was seeing it as a whip to control that ox. But now it's a rope to lead. So there you go.
It's so great. Nikhil and Lillian.
I was kind of curious when, you know, looking at this picture, something that kind of came into my mind was, is there an element of clinging here? And it's kind of like trying to cling to this ox and hold it. I'm just curious if that's something that's present there, or is that just maybe a misappropriation of...
Did you use the word pain?
Clinging.
Clinging, sorry. Glad I asked, because would you say it again?
Yeah, I was kind of curious, is there an element of clinging in this picture? Or is that maybe just a misappropriation of, you know?
What do you think?
I mean, I guess I saw a little bit of it there with trying to hold on so tightly to this ox that is, you know, so much more strong, right? And like, sort of maybe trying to control it in the wrong way and cling to this concept of how it can be kind of controlled, I guess.
Yeah.
And kind of going back to maybe what Bruce was saying, where you can't really control the mind.
Yeah. Well, and also when I was talking about wise effort, there is an element of clinging in that over efforting. I got to get this right. I got to stop, you know, catch the ox. I got to in order to, you know, that agenda mind and stuff. I think there is clinging into an expectation. And when we release some of the clinging, I think we get back to the aspiration and not the expectation. You know, it's like, oh, that's why I was talking about that balance of discipline and effort and ease. So thank you for pointing out the clinging aspect, because I think there is. I don't know. I saw a couple heads shaking, yes, but, you know, here we are in Zoom. And so how we communicate and interpret, I interpret smiles and heads shaking, but I don't know if I'm doing it right. Peter, please. And then I think, we'll see maybe one more after.
No, I don't have anything to say. I was just saying yes to the whole clinging being present. So thanks, Nikhil, for your insight.
Yeah, thanks, Peter. Anyone else? We have another minute before Jerry's going to do some announcements and ending us with some metta and merit. I just want to appreciate everybody so much for your willingness to stay, go into breakout groups. You know, none of this is fabulous, this technology, and that we are not really in each other's presence. And being willing to share your questions, your insights, your confusion. You know, it takes an element of you know, maybe stepping out of our comfort zone. And I really appreciate it. I don't know about the rest of you. I've already gained a lot just from what you've shared this morning. So I think this is a great year, that the whole year we're going to be doing this kind of thing, you know, exploring. So, okay. Well, with that gratitude, I'll turn it back over to Jerry. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah. Thank you, Suze, and everyone. I mean, this is what we see at the end here. This just points to the valley of Sangha. Yeah, each of you broaden your own perspectives, and like Suze, I'm seeing nods and thumbs up, and yeah, I resonate with what you're all saying. So I really appreciate it. Couple of things I always want to bring to mind, the value of, you know, mutual sharing, and Donna is one way that we can share. And also volunteering is a way that we can share and get connected with Sims and support this whole process that we're doing here. So I'm dropping a couple of links to Sims Donna page and Sims volunteer connection. So once again, nice gathering, everybody. So ending it now, just coming to stillness together, allowing this busyness, my own busy verbiage, to come to a stop and allow our minds to settle, and recognizing that we're all here in Sangha. And we all have the same overall intention, caring for one another, of living a life with intentionality and mindfulness, caring and compassion. And so, may the fruits of our practice be a benefit to ourselves and others and all beings. And may we all live in peace and harmony. Thank you.